Psalms chapter number, or Psalms number 14. For we know the Psalms aren't really a book of chapters as much as it is a collection, if you will, of songs or of things that were written by several individuals, of course, and many times put to song. And so as we read here in Psalm chapter number 14, we just want to read the first three verses of this psalm written by David. Psalm 14, and we'll begin reading here in verse number 1. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Now, if the language there sounds familiar, it's because as the Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 3, he borrowed, if you will, from the inspiration, the Old Testament in the psalm here as David had written. And he included it to the letter written to the Romans to speak to them on the same topic. He was using Scripture to teach them about the nature of man. As we notice here in verse number 1, the Bible here tells us that there are some people in this world today that are fools. The word fool today does not mean what the Bible says or not what the Bible defines it as. The word fool, as it is used in our vernacular today, most often really refers to a silly person, a time waster, one that is, one that is imprudent or maybe even unwise. That's how we refer to fools today. But the Bible definition of what a fool is very different. It's very different than what we think of it most often today. The word fool, as used in the Bible, most often is speaking to us about a person that is vile. About a person that is senseless, wicked, impious. It is speaking to us of an unbeliever. Of one that does not believe in God. One that is lost and still in their sin, still in their natural condition as they enter into this life. Many times you can look at the word fool and see depravity on display. And such is the case here in verse number 1. Today the word fool has become to mean senseless, silly, funny, time waster, those kinds of things. But we have replaced what the Bible means when it says fool with another word today. And it's a word that, when I say it, will automatically create a visceral response within you. Because it is a very negative word. It presents to us a very dangerous and a very dark doctrine and system of belief. At least here in Psalm 14 and verse 1, the word that we would find today to replace the word fool would be atheist or atheism. Atheist or atheism basically means that a person does not believe or is not convinced in their mind that there is a God. The Bible defines for us a person that believes that, thinks that, lives their life in accordance with that idea as a fool. But society today sees them far different. A person that has said, as we see here in Psalm 14 and verse 1, that there is no God is by definition a vile, a senseless, a wicked, and an impious person. But that's not how they're looked upon today, are they? We often think about someone who acts foolishly as someone that doesn't exercise common sense, about someone who has no wisdom. But here, the Bible tells us that someone that is a fool is someone that does not believe in God. That in fact goes as far as to say in their mind, in their heart, in their life, that there is no God. And when you hear that word today, atheist, atheism, it does create a visceral response in you, doesn't it? We as the children of God, we as those that assemble together here on a regular basis to study His Word and to hear the Holy Spirit speak to us, when we hear that word, automatically we are riled up. Automatically, doctrines like evolution, humanism, secularism, they all come to mind. Because those are all things that have sprung from mankind's disbelief in there being a God. When we think about a person being vile, senseless, wicked, or impious, what could be more so? What could be more so than belief that there is no God? I mean, really. There can be no greater error in all the world, and people are making it all over the place. From east to west, north to south, the four corners of this earth are filled with fools. Not people acting foolishly and unwisely, but people that are believing that there is no God whatsoever, living their lives accordingly. There could be no greater error, none with greater consequences, none with greater or further reaches, none with wider implications. For to hold such an opinion brings danger, darkness, and destruction. And our society is full of such today. Atheism in the whole, or foolishness on the whole, is making its mark upon American history. We are where we are today because of it. We are where we are today in this country and nation, as I was reminded this morning, under the judgment of God, because as a nation, we have become atheistic. We have become fools in the biblical sense of the term. For a person to believe that there is no God is very dangerous. It's dangerous to them. It's dangerous for their family. But what happens? What happens when an entire country moves in that direction? When an entire country is brash enough to say that there is no God, what happens then? We see the citizenry of this country is screaming this idea today. And the moral fabric and fiber of our society has been ripped apart because atheism destroys society. It destroys society because without God, and that's where America is today, and if you are unsaved today, that is where you are today. It destroys society. It destroys morality because without God there can be no morality. Without God there can be no sense of right and wrong. If what they say is true, that there is no God, then is there any point to live a life that is moral, that is guided by a sense of right and wrong? Is there any point? If there is no judge to answer to. I mean, imagine that. If there was no law to answer to, no judge to answer to, many of us would get in our cars and drive as fast as we could. We don't do that because there is a law to answer to. So if there is no God, there can be no morality. There's also no reason to live your life by any kind of standard or rule. It also causes man to lose hope in all possibility of true happiness. All that can be lived for is the moment. Atheism turns man into beast. I mean, think about it. The explosion over the last how many ever years is to worship the animals and the creation more than the Creator. It's to deify animals and nature and to do everything to make sure that you treat them in a certain way. It's because man on this continent, in this country, is turning into beasts. They are saying there is no God. They are living as if they only have a body without a soul. But that's what atheism, it doesn't account for a soul, does it? And so then all that is left is to live your life like a dog. All he wants is what's next. That next thing to gratify his flesh. He doesn't remember 5 minutes ago. He doesn't have any concept of 10 minutes from now. All he wants is what is right in front of him now. Satisfy me now. That's what atheism does. That's what foolishness does. That's what has happened in our country. We have fallen so very far from a country that was founded upon a belief that God is very real. That God is in control and is the foundation of all things. We see that over the course of time, this country has become decidedly atheistic. You say, hang on a minute. I know that I heard a statistic that said 70% of Americans believe in God. 70% of Americans are Christian. We'll see about that in just a minute. That's what people say. But they do something that's far different. Do something that is far different. These facts and figures, these understandings should not surprise us. Because this foolishness has a far reach in our society today. And it is very dangerous, very dark. Poses a real danger to our homes and to our society. And I don't think we're recognizing it like we should. And I think that's because we only view atheism in one way, or this foolishness. But I want you to see this morning it broken up into three different varieties. Think with me this morning about atheism in these three different types. And see if it isn't so in the people you know, the people you're in contact with, and the people all around. The first kind or type of atheism that is out there today, or foolishness, is absolute. Absolute atheism. The outright and absolute denial of mind and of intellect and of wisdom that there is any God at all in existence anywhere. This is the kind that most atheists would claim to be. But in reality, none of them are. You will see many claiming to be such. Claiming because of wisdom and intellect, because of learning and education, because of observing, because of science, because of so many things, that they have decided that there is no God, so they would fall into this category by their admission. But if you think with me just for a minute about it, it's easy for us to identify and fight against this kind of atheism. I mean, it's out there everywhere. The thought of it, the idea of it, is out there everywhere. But when you get right down to it, most, if not all, that would claim to be in this camp really aren't. Because if they really were in this camp, they would just be. There would be nothing for them to fight against. There would be no reason for it. If there is no God, then why fight against something that does not exist? That's why most that claim to be atheists or claim to be fools, better word for it, they really aren't absolute atheists. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 20 does away with this idea. It combats this. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 20. God has left evidence. God has left proof. God has shown that He is. That He is. This is not going to be a message on the proof of God's existence. But necessarily there must be some evidence from Scripture brought to bear. Romans 1 and verse 20, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. A person cannot be born into this world, no matter where they are, and not see the proof of the existence of God. Not see it. Not be inundated with it every single day. Now they may choose to ignore it. They may choose to convince other people that there is no God, but their very effort in that proves quite the opposite. There's one verse that proves that absolute atheist just doesn't work. As we move on with these types, you're going to find an increasing number of America's population being put in them. And as you go forward, you're going to find that even among Christianity, in churches this morning, and perhaps even among us here today, there are those that would deny the very existence of God. It is not reserved only for the universities or for the politicians. It's not only reserved for those in the dens of iniquity. It is everywhere today. And those that would fly the flag proudly and say, there is no God, and would fight against us, they are really the least of our worries in some ways. The second kind or type of atheism is what we would call providential. Providential atheism. Has anybody ever heard of the term someone is a deist or deism? This is exactly what is meant by this. Providential atheism is the belief that God does exist. Here's a huge but is confined to heaven and cannot in any way or will not in any way intervene with the affairs of man or this earth. You can probably put different names to what that is, but deism falls within this. And a lot of our founding fathers believed that there was a God, but they were deists. They believed that he did not interfere in the affairs of men, or he didn't have anything to do with what went on here upon the earth. Not all, but some of them were. Of the 70% of people that say they believe in God, there are many, many, many that fall into this kind of foolishness. They really do. They'll say, well, sure, God exists. I mean, this country was founded upon, and the idea of God has been around. I mean, how could I say that there isn't a God? How could I completely eliminate that possibility? Right? So they answer yes. Their vote gets counted. 70% of the country believes there's a God. But then you get into it a little bit further, and they say, yeah, but he doesn't do anything upon this earth. He's not in control of anything. That's just as much a denial of God's existence. They're not believing or assenting to the fact that God of the Bible exists, but some other God that we are not acquainted with. If this lie were true, if God really was confined to heaven and did not interfere in the affairs of men and had nothing to do providentially with our daily lives and the ordering of this world, he would be no God at all. He would be no God at all. So really, what have you gained? What have you gained by saying, I believe in God, but? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is a great description of the times in which we live and how this thought will be pervasive more and more and more. Society today at large, though there is a small sect that will argue against the possibility of God even existing, that percentage is really low, relatively low. But when you start to begin to think about what we're talking about here, how the ranks grow widely, how there are many in churches right now being entertained or listening to some form of a sermon or having some kind of religious observance that believes, yes, there's a God, but he does nothing. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. Having a form of godliness, isn't that what it is? Just a form? Just a form to say that, oh yes, God exists, don't hate me, I believe there's a God. But he doesn't have anything to do with me, he doesn't have anything to do with my life. We don't think about that as atheism, do we? We reserve atheism only for those that would say there is no God. But understand, this is as much a denial of God, as much of saying there is no God as the other. And it's more dangerous because it comes cloaked in religion sometimes and is made more acceptable. There's a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, they deny the power of God. They deny the power of God. Isn't that what the definition of a fool was back in Psalm 14? That they deny that God is. If a person says God does exist, but He's not God, then, I mean, really, it's the same thing, isn't it? It goes on in verse number 5 to say, from such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. At our conference, I think it was, Brother Lafferty, talking about how that's not just individual women, it can be, but churches being taken captive by this thought. God exists, but He's not everything in this world today and doesn't have anything to do with it. And so we need to see that this kind exists today in the world. But this isn't even the most dangerous kind as yet. It tells us to turn away from this kind, and we do. I mean, we can identify pretty quickly those that say, well, there's a God, but He sits in heaven, He doesn't do anything. They really aren't involved in Bible study like we are, and worship and those kinds of things. But then there's a third branch of atheism that is the most deadly, that is the most pervasive, that is the most deceiving. And what Satan really wants today, if he can get it in you, is for the desire for religion in you to be appeased, but at the same time causing you to deny the existence of God. That's what he wants. When he went after Eve, he didn't try to convince her that God didn't exist, did he? Not at all. But instead, he said, don't believe what God said. Don't believe that He can do what He says He can do. And so we find that atheism, or this foolishness, gets even broader. And I dare say, include some of us here this morning. And that is a natural atheism. By natural, we do not mean natural like nature around us. We do not mean what comes naturally to us. But natural atheism are those that believe that God does exist. And might even lobby or fight to prove and to say, yes, He does exist. Yes, He does interfere or intervene in the affairs of man. But they go on to deny His essential attributes and nature. They deny Him to be the perfect, holy, righteous God that Scripture brings to bear. This is actually the most common and most subtle form of this foolishness, and is terribly dangerous. Terribly dangerous. Satan has convinced many people that God does exist. He's convinced many people that He does work in the affairs of man. He does govern things. He does do some things in this world. But then he convinces you that God does not mean what He says, that God will not ultimately judge you for sin, that God ultimately will not send you to hell. So people deny God. How many today confess that there is a God, but then they deny Him the fullness of His character as described by the Word of God? They deny Him the fullness of His character. Our society is filled with this kind. Oh, how pervasive it is. Of that 70% of the country that say they believe in a God or they identify as Christian, this has to be the greatest majority. And in effect, they become foolish. In effect, they become atheists because they deny who God really is. They deny who God really is. In their practical everyday lives, there's no belief, there's no trust, there's no relationship. They might say with their mouths, I believe in God, I know that Christ died. They might say with their minds, I know that there's a God, I know that there's a Christ. Now go back with me to Psalm 14. Because what does it say here? What does it say? And I know that there are some of you that fall into this category this morning. I fell into this category for years and years and years. In the mind, I knew that God was everything that the pastor told me was. In my mind, I knew that Christ had came, that He had died on the cross. I knew that God was ordering the affairs of this world, that He was powerful. I had the mind. I had the understanding. I didn't deny that. I said with the mouth that these things were so. But I was a fool. Psalm 14 verse 1 again. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Not his mind, where you can be convinced of the fact of God. How could any of you argue with Scripture today and say, by understanding God doesn't, you won't do that to me today. You won't do that to us as a church. How many of you would say with your mouth, it doesn't say those two things, does it? But there are some here this morning that while assenting to the fact that God is, that Christ is, that He died, that He did everything exactly as the Word of God says that He did, you are denying in your heart that God is. You're denying by your heart. The Bible says that Jesus Christ came and He died on the cross for sinners. Paul said, of whom I am chief. He paid for sin. Apart from believing and knowing Jesus Christ as Savior, you will spend eternity in hell. But the devil has convinced you otherwise. You deny that that's true. You say, wait a minute, I know that's true. In the mind you do. In the mind you say, you're not an absolute fool. You're not even a providential one. But you are standing against the nature of God. You are standing against what the Bible says about God. You believe instead in your heart, even if you don't realize it at this moment, you believe in your heart that what the Bible says about sin, about hell, isn't so. You believe that how could God judge? How could God send a person to such a terrible place? How could God do that? That's why it says here in their heart that there is no God. What are you saying with your heart this morning? Truly. What are you saying with your heart? I can get an idea of what you say with your mind because you might tell me. It's what comes out of your mouth. But what do you say with your heart? What you say with your heart is reflected in your actions. It's reflected in your manner of life. It's reflected in your relationship with God through Christ. Say in their hearts that there is no God to worship, no God to have a relationship with. And again, there are many this morning that would recoil in disgust at the thought of being called an atheist. You'd leave here being mad at the preacher. You'd leave here being offended. Because you'd say, yes, I know there's a God. But we don't want you to know it in your head. Only. We don't want you to know it just by your mouth. It tells us in Romans chapter 10, with the heart, confession is made. That's what we desire today. There are some here this morning that believe in their minds, but not with their hearts, denying that He will judge, denying that there's a righteous standard, denying that there is anything of the sort to come. Believe in Christ. How is it with you today? We won't turn there, but in James chapter 2, verse number 19, it tells us that the devils or the demons of hell believe that there's a God and they tremble. They understand it so much that they can feel the authority and the power of God. But does it affect their activity? Does it affect what they do? Satan knows that there's a God. only to lie to you and he tell you there's not, but he believes it, he knows it, he has stood before God. He wants to be God. That's what his whole existence is about. We need to see that hell is a real place today. And it is the only place besides heaven where there will be no atheists, no fools of any kind. Really, once eternity sets in its totality for us, it's already rolling. It's a conversation for another time. But once time is dissolved and there is only eternity for us to inhabit it, there will be no such thing as a person that denies there's a God, either by mind or mouth or heart. There will be no such thing. Because you will be convinced of it, but far, far too late. Look with me at Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter number 16. Seems like we've referenced this rich man a few times of late. I know with this kind of thought, with this kind of message, you don't win popularity contests. You don't win more people beating down the door. But this is exactly what you need this morning if you've not yet believed and trusted in Christ. Because that head knowledge isn't good enough, if we want to put it in that terminology. That head knowledge isn't good enough. It's not going to get you anything past death. Well, it might improve your life here a little bit. You might be able to live a little better life, and I don't mean more prosperous by the world, I mean a little better. Applying the things you might learn and your knowledge to your life, you might live a little better. But in eternity, it's not going to make any difference. Not really. Notice here in Luke 16, a rich man. Rich man dies. In verse number 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Immediately, this man, of course, understood what before perhaps he had not. Maybe he had a mental assent. Maybe he had said, there is a God, but now there is no such language. In a moment, he is convinced. In a moment, he understands that God is real. He understands not only that God is real, but he understands in a minute that God does intervene in the affairs of man. In a moment, he understands that not only those two things are true, but also everything that the prophets had told him, everything that the Word of God had told him was true about God. He did demand righteous perfection in order to have eternal life, to be in His presence in heaven. He demanded that. In a moment, he understood that. In a moment, he didn't deny it anymore. But it was too late. We see that he desired relief right away. We notice also in verse 26 that it's impossible for what he was asking for. But notice verse 27. He had some family that were atheists, that were fools. In some measure, whichever they fell into, they denied that God was. This man, he wanted to see their fate different than his. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. He didn't want them to join him there. He knew the truth now. He was convinced of it. There was no doubt, no ambiguity, No, saying God exists, but he wanted his family to know. He wanted his family to know so that he would not, or so that they would not have to join him in this place. He wanted them to be converted from their foolishness, be converted from their mind only belief or mind only a knowledge of God. He wanted them to have the heart knowledge. He wanted them to believe of heart and soul. Hell is a real place. God does in fact exist. Not only does God in fact exist, but he demands perfect righteous holiness. Enter into his presence to gain eternal life. That's what he demands. The only way you can have that today is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Having that blood applied to your heart, paying for your sins, and receiving in turn the righteousness of Christ. That when you leave this life, you'll be able to be in the presence of God because of. Hell is a real place. And people will realize that. The bottom line this morning is, our country's falling apart today because of a lack of belief in God. It's not only because there are a certain portion of our population saying God doesn't exist. That's harmful. But that should be able to be dealt with by the rest of the population. They've always been around. They've always happened. But what has happened now is that atheism or foolishness has gotten together with religion and has convinced people, yes, there's a God, but he doesn't interfere. He doesn't intervene. He doesn't do anything. He can't. There is a God, but understand what the Bible says about him is really not true. Really not true. So don't worry about it. He's out there working. He's doing his thing. You just live as good as you can and it'll all be okay. That's a lie. A lie. I'm glad that perhaps this morning you don't fall into either of these two camps. I'm glad this morning that you understand, at least of mine, that God does exist, that he is ordering the events of the world, that he is got everything in control. But understand there's more to it than that. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. How is your heart this morning? Are you denying God therein? If you deny God in your heart, what's the difference than these other things? Really, eternally, what's the difference? I'm concerned that while you believe he exists and he's working in the world, you need to heed. The Bible says about sin, about depravity, about hell. Trust in Christ this morning by faith. It's the only way that you can ever be convinced of heart and soul that there is a God. And when we say there is a God, that he is the God of the Bible and that he is going to do everything and is everything that it says he is. Oh, I pray you'll consider that this morning and understand your need for Christ because he is the only way of salvation today. It is by faith you must believe. It is by faith you must trust that this message is so. Don't take my word for it. We pray God would give you the faith to receive this message. As we said in Romans chapter 10, you know, the heart is where we believe. The mouth has a part because we tell others. We show forth our salvation. It's in the heart. Don't deny him today. And don't look at those that are, you know, in intellectual circles that say there is no God and say, hey, I'm better than them. In some ways, your life might be. But you'll see them right beside you in hell. And the end result will be the same if you don't believe and trust in Christ. But stand, let's go to the